Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, very special guest, first time guest, Deion Jones. Deion Jones is a Brooklyn native who has been a dedicated educator for 15 years within the New York City public school system. Throughout her career, she has served as a special education teacher, dean of students, assistant principal, supervising special education and mathematics. Deion is currently a district achievement instructional specialist in math and science for the Community School District 17. Deion is also a proud mother of a 16-year-old, Elijah, who was born with Down syndrome and later diagnosed with autism at the age of 5. As a result of his diagnosis, it was discovered that Elijah's sensory processing disorder, referred to as SPD, it was Elijah's struggles with SPD that led Deion to create a program called Uniquely Me Creative Arts, known as UMCA. Deion is the first time guest on Reaching Out. I'm proud to meet her, glad to have her on, and very, very excited to hear about Deion and her program and the uniqueness of individuals getting involved in community activities. Deion, that long introduction, welcome to Reaching Out.
That was an amazing introduction. Thank you so much, Gregory, for having me. You know, it's a great opportunity to always be able to spread information and awareness about children with special needs. So like you said in the introduction, you know, my son Elijah really lit the fire for me, one, to become a special education teacher, right? 2 years after he was born, that's when I started to work for, back then it was Department of Education, and becoming a special education teacher. So with that being said, you know, being able to close gaps for children, both professionally and in my personal world, by founding UMCA, it's really a blessing. That's what I like to call it. And one of the great parts of UMCA, not only are children working on their sensory sensitivities through creative arts activities, but the parents, right? When I had to find programs for Elijah, one, I would have to go all the way up in Manhattan, right? It was a travel hardship back then. And I would just, you know, be there on my phone or catching up on some work and not really interacting with parents and who are in a similar situation. And at UMCA, not only do we have the experts in the field that come and give strategies and support and resources, but we lean on each other as parents. We have our own group chat. We're getting ready to start going out with each other, just really developing and build a community, because there are different joys and challenges that we face that typically developing children don't face in their parents. So it's great to have that community.
Well, so we could get an idea. How many people do you have that participate in your organization? Tell us how many people you have on your board, and then tell us how many children you have in the program.
So my board, we have 5 people on my board, and in the program, we have consistent 10 families that come. When I say consistent, they come every month. They're a part of the group chat. You know, we have a special bond with each other. And then we have folks that come and, you know, for whatever reason, they come, you know, sporadically, which is okay, because, you know, having a child with special needs is up and down. It's having children, period, right? But, you know, just being able to get out, you know, sometimes can be a struggle. So we understand that, and they participate in love in other ways. So we have about 10 consistent families that come.
Okay, so let me ask you, if someone is listening to the program and they really, really want to know what your program is about, and they have a special needs child, they want to get involved, how would they do that? Do you have room for more?
Yes, I have room for more. Absolutely. We meet on the third floor of my church every second Saturday of the month. You can always go to our website, umcanyc.org, to register. As soon as you go there, it says register for UMCA Saturdays. And we ask you to register and bring a friend because, you know, again, it's a small, tight-knit community, but we have to stick together to be able to, you know, make sure that our children live an inclusive life as possible.
Now, once again, your church is located
at 460 Marcus Garvey Boulevard in Brooklyn, New York. The zip code is 11216. It's a big church right on the right-hand side of Marcus Garvey Boulevard. You can't miss it. So in fact, the 15 bus, if you're traveling by bus, is right off the corner. So it's very accessible to the ANC train as well.
Okay. Now, if someone was to come to your program, you say it's the
second Saturday.
Second Saturday.
From 10 to 12.
From 10 to 12.
Yes.
What could they expect?
Oh, gosh. So they can expect to come in and they can go up to the third floor and their children will have a sensory room. If I have opportunity, I can even show you what it looks like. I can share my screen. They can expect their children will be engaged in an arts activity. Special education teachers are there to work with their children. We also have volunteers. So it's about a 4-to-1 ratio. So your child is very well protected. And then you can go off to the family room and have like a respite, if you will, and hang out with families and listen to our guest speaker. This past Saturday, we had Dr. Denise Gibbs, who is a physical therapist, giving amazing strategies. And we were able to, you know, talk about different, you know, let's say we kind of get off topic sometimes, which is okay. And just sharing ideas and sharing, you know, stories. So that's what they can expect. And we always have food, you know, bagels and fruits. And just everybody just has a good time for 2 hours.
Okay. So
you get to be separated from your child and, you know, not even realize it sometimes because they're having so much fun. Because we have some children that are really clingy to their parents. And for some reason, when they come to our program, they're not so clingy. So we do enjoy that.
So it's a moment of it's a couple of hours for a parent that has to constantly tend to their child to have a few hours to themselves.
Yes. Yes, a couple of hours to themselves and just be with like-minded families and getting help and resources, crying, laughing, and having a good time.
What is unique?
I think that's the unique part of it. Like I said earlier, when the parent piece, right? And really supporting and developing and nurturing parents in this process, because when I would go to programs for Elijah, I didn't, you know, I was just in the hallway on my phone or like I said, catching up on some work and not really, you know, being able to get resources from people who are in my same situation. So that's what really makes our program unique. And then bringing in experts in the field, we're bringing in doctors, lawyers, judges, to really come and give strategies. We're having a financial February where we're bringing in special needs attorneys and guardianship judges because, you know, as a special needs parent, when your child turns 18, there's certain legal documentation that you have to fill out for guardianship. And, you know, you just can't leave your child money, right? It has to be set up in a special trust. So really providing parents with these resources. And again, we have an intimate connection. You know, we talk about from soup to nuts, right? Sometimes even some of our children are on medication. What type of medicine is your child on? Like, how is it working for your child? And then we're able to, you know, really troubleshoot just a lot that goes on with our children.
Well, let's not just breeze by that. You said something important. Financial February?
Yes, financial February.
And we're in October, so you said financial February. So do we have to wait until February to get the financial advice, or is that just—
I'll tell you why. So we have our year planned out, and what happens is November, we're coming up on our 1 year anniversary, and I'll tell you guys more about that. And then December, we have a huge holiday party. And then in January, we do wellness because, as we know, the holiday times can bring all sorts of feelings, good, bad, you know, so we like to have that wellness in January. And then in February, that's when we're touching on our finances, because you can't be right, you know, financially if your mind is not right sometimes, right? So I'm right. Just really, that's why.
Okay. So we're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President Local 237 Teamsters, with a very special guest, Deon Jones of Uniquely Me Creative Arts. And we are talking about her program that's unique to special needs children. And she is a special needs mother, and she founded this. November 16th, you mentioned it marks the 1 year anniversary of this program.
Yes.
How many things have changed during your first year?
Wow. So many things have changed. One, we grew in numbers. I would say we've had since the time that we started, we had about 100 families come in and out. But I told you we have our core families. We are also introducing legislation with Assemblywoman Stephanie Zinnerman of the 56th District, where we are trying to implement safety signs around District 75 schools. And the safety signs will, you know, like the safety traffic signs will say children with special needs are learning here, because oftentimes we have people that are honking really loud and our children take a little bit longer to get on and off the bus. Sometimes there's a lot of people play a lot of loud music, and, you know, our children have sensory sensitivities. And most of all, some of our children like to elope, right? And we all know about the unfortunate situation with Avante. And just recently, I believe up to 2 years ago, there was a child who actually went to my son's old school who managed to get on the Long Island Railroad and go all the way to Long Island, who was nonverbal. So perhaps if these signs are there, right, one, people will be more cautious and sensitive. And if you see a child that may look wayward, you know that, hey, this school, it's provides services for children with special needs. Maybe they belong here. Let me try to support this child. So I'm really implementing that piece of legislation to ensure the safety and wellness of our children. Those are some of the things that we've done. And again, just really developing relationships within the community. We have a lot of community partners, Patrol Borough Brooklyn North, Anchor Health, Tribeca Pediatrics. They all, you know, support us so that we're able to pour back into children with special needs and their families.
What would you like to see happen in your second year?
What I would like to see happen is I would like to continue to develop a curriculum, a sensory-focused creative arts curriculum to support children while they're in school, and to develop a relationship with a college, particularly Pratt Institute. They have a creative arts therapy program. So I'm just really trying to strengthen our program with partnerships and, you know, really looking to go possibly into special needs schools to provide a sensory focused creative arts curriculum.
Tell us about Uniquely Me's Special Needs Safety Signs Initiative. You just went through that. How would people support that? Because when you have legislation, you also need people to help lobby. You need people to call their legislators, and you need that. So tell our listeners,
absolutely,
how to help you help assist in this endeavor.
One, you can actually go on to our Instagram page, and we have the sign-on letter there. If you go into the link in our bio, you can also call Assemblywoman Stephanie Zinnerman's office of the 56th District and let her know that you are in support of the safety signs. And also, I can share with you the link so that people can actually sign up and you can share with your network. So again, if you go to our Instagram, you'll be able to see the link. If you don't have Instagram, we'll have it on our website, so you can also sign on to the letter. So that's how you can actually support this movement.
Now, I would say your Instagram would be Uniquely Me.
No, it's UMCANYC.
Okay.
UMCANYC.
Okay. All right. And what are some of the special needs resources that the public should know about?
One, they need to know that, you know, their child, their laws, right? IDEA laws. Every child is entitled to a free, appropriate public education. That if you are not satisfied with your child's current, you know, state of education, that you have laws and you have people that can advocate for you. You can also receive government services. I receive a home attendant for my son, so that's how I'm able to work. And, you know, they receive him off the bus. You know, so there's a plethora of government services that are there for children with special needs. You can also receive stipends to have recreation services. So again, if you join UMCA, we always are sharing information and things that you are literally entitled to when you have a child with special needs.
Any advice that you would, any advice to parents who might suspect their child has special needs? Where would they go to have that child diagnosed?
Well, if their child is from 0 to 3 years old, I always say to go to your pediatrician. And what happens is your pediatrician will do some, you know, diagnostic screening. And then they will call in, like, for you to actually receive screenings for early intervention. Early intervention allows you to receive related services in your home, physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy. So just really being able to tap into these services earlier on. And if you feel like, you know, your child is now in public school, you speak to the school's psychologist. All schools that are New York City public schools, they have psychologists. And you say, you know, my child, I feel like they may not make in milestones. And you also get documentation from your child's pediatrician that you would like to have your child evaluated in school by the school psychologist to see if they would need an IEP, which is an individualized education plan, right? That is federally mandated for children who qualify for services.
What is your wish list to better the system? You had a wish list. Give me a few things that you would say you would need.
So one of my wish lists is for the D75 signs to go up, right? To make sure that awareness is with around schools that actually educate children with severe special needs. The other wish list would be to just remember that children have sensory sensitivities and to have a program where, you know, we're working on different sensitivities in the schools through creative arts and making that a part of curriculum, that these sensory focused creative arts activities, you know, instead of drawing, for instance, this past Saturday, we painted pumpkins, but we did it with textures and feathers and just allowing children to get that tactile input because it really helps to regulate them. So really understanding the importance of sensory sensitivities through a curriculum within the schools.
What could be some of the positive results of your program?
So some of the positive results, it's one, there's no cure for sensory processing disorder, right? So that's why we work on it through the arts activities. And some of my children, you know, like I said, a lot of them had separation anxiety. So now they're able to, since coming, they're now able to go in and play with other children and communicate and live an inclusive life with their peers without, you know, always clinging on to their parents. Another piece is socialization, right? You'll see your child socializing more with other children. Oftentimes, children with special needs, they play by themselves or they play with the adults, right? You'll see increased communication with that. You'll also see in your child the ability to not have a meltdown. Right, if they go into a room and it's too loud, because we're working on their sensory sensitivities. So instead of them now going in and having a meltdown, they're more tolerable to the situation and they're able to live a more inclusive life. And as for the families, the bright side that we see is developing relationships because, you know, it can sometimes feel like you're alone, right? Even though you have family, but your family members are not going through your child waking up at night all the time, struggling with, you know, various eating challenges. So it's good to have a support system where you can lean and call and say, hey, is your child doing this? How did you do this? And, you know, just being able to have that great support system.
And how would you measure success?
I would measure success by wanting people coming, like, you know, developing and having that sustainable folks that consistently come. I would measure success by children living inclusive lives. Like I said, you know, being able to wear gloves. Some of our children can't wear gloves, but by coming to our program and engaging in tactile creative arts activities, now they can wear gloves. Some of our children don't even like to wear shoes. So seeing those, you know, inclusive moments for children, that's how we measure our success. You know, they, again, they don't like to communicate with each other, and you, just seeing them playing with each other, that's how we measure success.
Okay. Now, I think maybe one of the most important things is, how are you funded?
So right now we are funded by me, right? We've had some donations, but we don't have any, I would say, sustainable funding. We did just recently apply for capital funding with Assemblywoman Zinnerman. We are going to apply for some discretionary funding. We applied for grants. We did receive a grant from the Laundromat, but very, you know, majority of it is through God's
from the Laundromat. What's
the Laundromat Project? They are a organization that is helping to support nonprofits in Central Brooklyn. So we apply to Brooklyn.org. They are also another nonprofit. So we've been applying, but we haven't received any real sustainable funding.
Are you a 501(c)?
Yes, we are a registered 501(c)(3). So, which is, you know, we received that status back in April. Right. So we're ready to receive the funds.
And do you have a fundraiser coming up?
Yes, we do. So we have our fundraiser, our 1 year anniversary, November 16th. That's going to be at Bethany Baptist Church from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. We so far we partner with the Brooklyn Public Library. They'll be there to cut library cards there for our children, and Tribeca Pediatrics to make it more of a, yes, November 16th. There's going to be children performances, food, you name it.
Okay. So how much are the tickets?
The tickets are $75. Children are free. We do have opportunity for community partner sponsorship, and we also have opportunities to purchase journal ads. And I can, if you go to our website, umcanyc.org, umcanyc.org, all the information is there to purchase tickets, purchase a journal ad, or to become a community partner.
Okay. If someone wanted to attend, where would they go to purchase a ticket or sponsorship?
They will go right to our website. They can go to umcanyc.org, umcanyc.org.
So that's November 16th?
Yes, from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. at Bethany Baptist Church.
At 3 p.m.
Yes. Come on out. Please invite your families. We're going to have a great time. We're going to engage in sensory stations. We're going to have a silent auction. So it's going to be fun. It's a fun fundraiser.
Okay.
Yes.
Deon Jones of Uniquely Creative Arts, thank you for coming on Reaching Out. I enjoyed our discussion. I learned a lot. And somehow, some way, we will be participating in your event because we think you are doing marvelous work. And since you're in the church, we're going to say you're doing God's work.
Amen. That I am.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on Reaching Out. You've been listening to Gregory Floyd, President Local 237. You've listened to another edition of Reaching Out. A very special guest, Deon Jones of Uniquely Creative Arts. Thank you for coming on Reaching Out and sharing your story.
And thank you for having me and allowing us to share the story. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.